Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, January 29th, 2025, on 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza.
Yay!
We're coming to you live from Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. So, as far as my health, I feel like I'm doing better than I ever have. The only residual thing I seem to have is fatigue. And that fatigue only seems to happen at the end of work days, and then I have to recover from it. Today, I feel pretty good. You know, I must say, I feel pretty good. Last 2 days, I did some sort of intense stuff on the bike. For the first time, I went to extreme spin. I had not been on a spin bike in 5 years.
And I worked your butt off.
I did.
It's okay. You still have a wattage cottage.
But anyway, so I used my wattage cottage and got through an hour and a half class and then felt a little lightheaded afterwards and decided I wouldn't go to the UConn game with Ron. And then after recovering, I felt like I could have gone. But it's okay because I love that you go with Warren. And really, going with Warren is special. Because you want to take the time that you have and go with Warren if you can. So I don't feel bad about not going.
Right.
I stayed home. I relaxed. I caught the game on TV. Made cookies. And I found a mix that's really high in fiber. So the mix, it's mostly oat flour. It is sweetened, but it's mostly oat flour. And then you add butter and an egg. And you don't even add water. And you add nut butter. It asks for peanut butter, but I like to put in almond butter because I like the mellower flavor of the almond butter. You like those cookies a lot, right?
Yeah,
they came
good.
Out came out really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a mix. And so I made the cookies and I just laid around and that I really needed to do that. So I just wanted to repeat something that I heard in restorative class last night. And my teacher, Angie, who is the owner of Yono and Willimantic, said something I really liked. She said, rest is not an indulgence. It's essential.
No, that's good.
Right? Isn't that really good?
Yeah,
so I want to remind you of that getting rest, what Angie said, right?
It's acceptable.
It's not, it's more than acceptable. It's necessary.
Right.
And people feel like, oh, I'm not getting anything done. Everybody feels like, oh, what should I do with this minute to accomplish something? And you don't need to feel like that. I'm really looking forward to doing very much today. We're recording this on a day when there's no bank and there's no post office. I can't go to the bank and I can't go to the post office and there's no new entries in my bank, so I can't even account it. So that's cool. So it's a little bit less to do. And I did my extra shopping yesterday. So when I'm done with the show, go to the office, do the charts, come home and chill out. Well, I do have a chiropractic appointment, so that's nice. I was able, my knees are doing pretty well. The other thing I wanted to point out is that I think it may be helping already, but I started a new supplement and it's called Perna and it's green-lipped mussel. So that sounds hilarious, doesn't it? But you can get these mussels, like mussels, the shellfish, and on the side of them, they have a lip and it's green. Like there's a part of it, you look at it and it's actually green.
Okay.
And the green-lipped mussels have essential fatty acids in them and they have chondroitins and glycosaminoglycans in them. So it's a combination of reducing inflammation and adding glycosaminoglycans, which are essential parts of your cartilage. So I had not been taking anything with glycosaminoglycans in them. I am taking collagen, but I'm not taking anything with glycosaminoglycans. So this is a new addition and I'm trying it and I think my knees are a little bit better. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to back down and get less expensive collagen and take the Perna and see how that goes. And I was able to get through an hour and a half difficult class. And the next day, today, I rode on the trainer and I went 20 miles And it wasn't very hilly. It was a 28 feet per mile.
What you're supposed to do after a hard workout.
Yes, but I still over, you know, over an hour, and so I'm okay. My knee feels fine. I still brace the knee when I'm doing exercise, and I'm still going to get chiropractic and acupuncture. So I'm going to still do those things and put salve on it and stuff. And it's no tremor since September 22nd, which is very exciting. I'm still continuing to take the herbal medicine, have not increased the doses as my naturopath wanted me to. And I don't know if I'm going to, because I'm nervous about that. It feels like the thing is working. And why I might increase a couple of the herbs just to see. I'm just not sure when I'm going to do that, because I'm just not sure how I'm going to feel. But anyway, so that stuff is going well enough. So anyway, and so let's talk about Ron, because now he's here. We haven't been able to be together on the on the recordings for a long time, because
we're still together.
I mean, we're still together as a couple, but you were busy teaching a class on the mornings that we usually record for the month of December. And now that it's January, we're able to record together again. So I get to actually ask you questions about what's going on with you. So what is going on with you? All kinds of interesting stuff has happened since we last talked.
Right. Last time I talked to you, I don't think I had done... I don't think I had actually gone to the cardiologist to have the test done on my legs.
Right.
So what? There was some concern that one of the reasons why my legs weren't responding really well, or at all at this point, I still have no power coming out of my legs. And stairs are like mountains in front of me every time I go up a set of stairs. Really, it's terrible because my cardiovascular system is very strong, but my my muscles are just greatly affected. So now we're looking in different directions, and I was concerned that maybe I had some blockages going down into my legs since I had quadruple bypass surgery almost 4 years ago now, believe it or not.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Up on year four. So there's concern that there may be blockages in the arteries going down into my legs, and so they do this really interesting test, and they take basically blood pressure cuffs, kind of like the ones you'd put on an arm, and you know, they bring the pressure up and then they bring it down. They start at your feet and work all the way up to the top of your leg. So you're basically, I think it took him way longer to do the prep for it than it did to actually run the test.
A lot of tests are like that.
But because there's a lot of blood pressure cuffs they put on you. You know, it starts at your feet, it goes to your ankles, it goes to your calves.
So there's not one big cuff. It's a whole bunch of cuffs.
No, it's a whole bunch of them.
Interesting.
And so they're all put together in tandem, and then he runs the test, and he runs it like a normal blood pressure test. And what they're trying to see is if the blood pressure down by your feet is the same as the blood pressure up by your heart.
Right.
Or, you know, up in your upper body. And
so they do your legs and your arms?
Nope.
Just your legs?
Well, he checked my arm before.
Gotcha.
And he was very funny man, by the way. Very, very funny man. And he put the blood pressure cuff on my arm, and I said, well, it's probably going to be higher than it normally is because I have white coat syndrome. Being the thing, you go to the doctor and your blood pressure is always a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, oh, you don't have to worry. I'm wearing a blue coat today.
I always say that to my patients. My patients say I have white coat syndrome, and I say to them, well, it's a good thing I'm wearing a lavender sweater with pink flowers.
Right. And so he has the same joke.
Yeah, we all have that. If you're snappy, you're going to have that joke.
Right. So anyway, he did that, and that was very funny. But the numbers matched, basically, is what happened. But
right.
The weird thing about it is, okay, so they run this test, and it's normal blood pressure. You know, you feel the pressure, and it drops down. You feel the pressure, and it drops down. It goes up one leg, goes up the other leg, and he goes, okay, now it's going to get a lot more exciting. And I said, what does that mean? He goes, well, I have to check you under load. And I said, but I don't have to be on a treadmill for that or climbing stairs. He goes, oh, no, I can create it right here. And he goes, here we go. He said, this might hurt a little. He goes, here we go. Oh, my God. I mean, the pressure increase was intense.
Right.
And it was really like I was gripping the table.
Yeah.
I was doing it. It was just, it was intense.
Yeah, I had a CIMT test once on my arm, and that's what they do.
Yeah, it was really, really tight. And it's like, duh, you can stop now. And no, we can't stop now. So the number came out. It was very funny. This man was very funny. He was a technician. He'd been doing it for 22 years or whatever. And I said, so what's the story? And he goes, well, I can't tell you that. Your doctor has to tell you that. But he said, your results will be on my chart in a couple of days, so you should be fine. And I said, can you give me a clue? He goes, well, I can tell you whether it's a sunny day or a cloudy day, which I thought was hysterical.
Very cute.
Very
hysterical. Yeah.
And I said, so how's the weather, doc? And he looked back at me and he said, it's a very, very sunny day
today. Oh, good.
So anyway.
And so that's not the problem.
And of course, the results came back. My blood pressure was like spot on with the blood pressure of my upper body. It's all on my legs.
So you don't, that means you don't have cardiovascularly induced intermittent claudication.
Correct.
That's what that means. It doesn't mean you don't have intermittent claudication. It means it's, if you have it, it's not induced cardiovascularly. You can have intermittent claudication induced by spinal stenosis.
Right.
So then what happened?
So then we have to go on to, that's a box that's checked. So now we got to look for other options.
Right.
The other options are, and have been, that I had a very deep Lyme test done, a tick-borne illness test.
Yes.
Done. One that insurance doesn't pay for, but you know, you got to dig lots of money out of your pocket to do it. But I did because I want to figure out what's going on. And those results, which took forever to come back, came back, and I have 4 markers of Lyme. So apparently I've got Lyme disease, and it's been hanging out in my body for a long time, and that's part of it. Obviously, this started last late January, early February.
Right.
That's when this whole thing
started. It's been a year.
And I was in great shape before that and not having any problems at all. And then all of a sudden, somebody flipped a switch and it just went downhill really, really
rapidly. We don't know if it's the Lyme or if it's really musculoskeletal. I'm leaning toward it's musculoskeletal. You just have a weirdo spine.
I think it is. I have taken to doing a number of specific yoga moves that are good for this situation. And so I'm working on that. I'm working on some new neck stuff now because I think the neck was one of the things that, well, we'll get to that in a second. But anyway, and I've had a couple of good workouts within the past 2 weeks. I've had 2 in the last 2 weeks. Everything else is back, the same.
You had x-rays.
I had x-rays. So then the next box to check was x-rays. So we went, we did x-rays.
They of your entire spine.
From my neck all the way down to my lumbar.
Which is what I wanted.
And those results came back, and you saw those results.
Yeah.
And I would like to get the images. I didn't get images with that.
No, they don't usually give you images. I mean, you could get them, but I mean, you're not going to be able to read them.
Okay.
But anybody who needs to see them...
But wouldn't a chiropractor like to see them?
They might. Right. Well, you know,
it's a description.
You can get the images. You have to, you can ask for them. You can, ask, like you had the x-rays done at Bacchus.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have to go to Bacchus or if you can go to Wyndham, but, you definitely can go to Bacchus.
It's
request
a digital file.
Yes. Yeah. You request them and they'll give you a CD. That's what I've done. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if you're going to have to schlep back down to Bacchus to do that, or
maybe
if it's in the system, you may be able to get them at Wyndham. So you have to call somebody and say, look, I had these x-rays done at Bacchus.
Mm-hmm.
I need a CD of them. Find out if you can pick them up at Wyndham because it's Hartford Healthcare. It's the same system.
Yeah.
But if you can't, you might have to schlep down to Bacchus to get them. I mean, I don't see why because
it seems
it's
like
the same
it's a digital
system.
File. It could be something that could even easily be sent to me.
But you don't want to have it sent. Unless it's in a secure fashion. But
the Russians might know what my muscular skeletal system is.
Well, I know, but that's...
I don't care.
You don't, but HIPAA.
Right.
Right. So I don't know that they... Because remember when I had the x-rays of my arm done, when I broke my arm, we had to schlep to Manchester to get the CD.
Yeah.
And I asked for CDs of think I asked for CDs of something else, but it might have been x-rays. And I had them done at Wyndham. Mm. And I went back to Wyndham. And actually, they might have given me the CDs the same day. You could have asked for them right there. Oh, well. All right. So you need to make a phone call and find out how you can get the CD. Do you have to go to Backus, or can they give them to you at Wyndham? Because it's in the same system. But I don't know. You'll find out.
Just check.
Because you're right. A chiropractor might like to look at it.
A chiropractor might want to see.
The thing is, anybody who has access to Epic, though, isn't going to need it, because they can pull it up. It's your chiropractor that won't, probably isn't in Epic.
Right.
Yeah, Epic is the global EHR, electronic health records. I am not a part of it. I have had patients, can you look at Epic? No. Can you look at my chart? No, I'm not in any system that has my chart. I have the same access that you do, so you can give me your login and password. So, but the problem is, if they do that, there's two-factor authentication, then I can't get in. So anyway, but I don't have, I personally, as my situation is, I don't have access to external EHR.
Right.
But anyway,
the next thing comes to, you saw what the results were.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like anything was screaming.
There's no, outrageous. It didn't say spinal stenosis on it, but I don't know if they can tell from x-rays. They may have to do MRIs for that. Mm. And what I would suggest you do is, if you're interested in going and getting MRIs, is taking the x-rays to an orthopedist or a spinal surgeon or somebody who does spines. You want an orthopedist who specializes in spines, and you have to decide what system you want to go to. Do you want to go through Hartford Healthcare? Do you want to go to UConn? For my ortho, I went to UConn because I think they're good over there. They're really good over there. Yeah. And if you go to UConn, you'll probably have to get x-rays again. They'll probably redo the x-rays. Not a big deal. They take very good x-rays there. I was very impressed with what they do.
Well, as long as my insurance will pay for two sets of x-rays.
Well, they might. But the thing is, when I had my broken arm, every time I went to the ortho for a check, they did an x-ray. X-rays are cheap. Your insurance will probably pay for the x-rays again. It's usually not a big deal. I had x-ray after x-ray, and the insurance paid for it. It was fine.
Okay.
So don't worry about that. But you have to make a decision, because you haven't had any follow-up on these x-rays yet.
No.
And the person that ordered them was your PCP.
Right.
So PCP isn't where you want to stop. I mean, because the PCP says go get PT, right, which you should do.
Well, the PCP also lined me up with a neurologist.
Right. They're going to do an EMG, which is nice. But, you know, you need to know what's going on. You want to know, is this going to be fixable by PT, chiropractic, or do you need surgery? Because here's the thing. What they found is you don't have spondylosis like I have. Like, I have spondylosis in my lower back. That means my vertebrae are not sitting properly on top of each other. And you don't have that, but you do have a little bit of, I think you had a little bit of thinning of your disc at L5-S1. Mm-hmm. And then you had some scoliosis in your thoracic spine. I don't remember at what level or if it was a C or an S curve. I don't think it said if it was a C or an S curve. Mm. But do you know what scoliosis is?
No.
Scoliosis is a curvature of the spine in the lateral plane. So in other words, you have curvatures of your spine. You're not supposed to have a curvature of your spine in the lateral plane. So in other words, your spine's supposed to be sort of straight in this plane.
Right.
And if you have scoliosis, it goes like this, makes a C, or it makes an S, where it has two spots where it's bending. So you have some kind of scoliosis. I don't remember if it's a C or an S, and it was somewhere in your thoracic spine, and I don't remember how severe it was. The other thing that was not mentioned is that you have an exaggerated thoracic kyphosis. So your spine, if you're looking in the sagittal plane, in other words, the sideways plane, your spine has a normal lordosis and kyphosis. So your normal lordosis, your spine goes in at the cervical spine in your neck. It curves inward. Mm-hmm. It curves out at the thoracic spine, and then it curves back inward at the lumbar spine.
Okay.
And then your butt sticks out. So those are normal curves. Mm-hmm. You have an exaggerated kyphosis. So you have your thoracic spine sticks out more than it's supposed to. And there might be a scoliosis with that as well. I think the scoliosis is in your thoracic spine. And then when you get to your cervical spine, you had some, I think you had some thinning of discs there as well. Yeah. What they said is you have narrowing of the neural foramina, I believe it's C4, C5. So the neural foramina is where, it's a hole, the hole where the nerves pop out of C4, C5. And where the nerve pops out of whatever spinal level you're talking about.
Okay.
You have some narrowing there. I don't know if the narrowing is enough to put pressure on your nerves. If it is, because it's, look at how far up it is, it can have ramifications all the way down your back. So that's what somebody has to determine. Is that narrowing of the neural foramina enough to, one, just award you PT? So the thing is, before you get an MRI, usually you're supposed to get x-rays and then physical therapy. So you may have to go to physical therapy, which you should do. It's great.
Yeah, no.
I am
looking for an answer.
Yeah.
I want to be able to ride my bicycle again.
Yeah.
And I would really enjoy climbing the stairs in my house without having to stop
at the top of the
stairs and scream.
So probably what's going to happen is Dr. Heyman's going to prescribe you PT, and you have to decide where you want to go. If you want to go to ProCare, if you want to go to Select, or if you want to go over to Pelletier Killian, whichever one you want to do.
Yeah.
You might want to do one that's athletically oriented. So,
and are there
Select is a good one. Select is good. Although I've heard that ProCare is good too. So ProCare is in Willimantic, and Select, there's Select all over the place. I went to Select in stores.
Isn't the one, there's one in stores, right?
That's Select.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
That's who David works.
And there might be also Hartford Healthcare in stores. But yeah, that's right. When I was there, I saw David there.
Yeah.
And I was in Big Y, and I saw a woman shopping, and I'm like, I recognize her. I can't figure out. And then when I was checking out, I'm like, that's my PT. It's Mary. So I said hello to Mary in the Big Y, and I told her, I thanked her for helping me, and also told her I'm trying to send people to her.
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, so you might get PT. I don't know if you have to do PT before you get an MRI or not. Sometimes if you go to the ortho, they can push you through faster than a doctor who isn't an ortho. But you might want to consult with a spinal specialist.
Right. But so, I have because to get the procedure, I guess, is that you have to go through your PCP to do that, correct?
To get, you need a referral for PT.
Right.
So
or for an orthopedic. What about an orthopedic person?
It depends if you... That, I don't know. It depends on what the specs are on your insurance.
Okay.
But PT, you generally... PT usually requires that you have an... like when I went to see Mary, I had to have an... PT requested a referral from my PCP, which my PCP did. And that's how I got to go.
Right.
I don't know if my insurance required it. Insurance may not require it, but PT often does. And sometimes it just depends on the nature of your, some insurances require referrals before you get to go anywhere else and some don't. And I don't know what the specs are in your insurance.
Right.
So anyway, in any case, if you're going to go to PT, I know that if you go to Select, you're going to need a referral. So Dr. Heyman will give you one. So that's how that will go.
Right.
And, anyway, I had a patient not long ago who had, she had something going on in her neck. She had some maybe severe arthritis in the neck. She wound up having a fusion because it was giving her symptoms all the way down her spine, and it worked. It helped her. So I don't know if that's ultimately what it's going to come to for you, because you're having symptoms all the way down your spine, and it could be emanating from your neck. It's so interesting how the spine works. But if something's going on in your neck, it can have ramifications all the way down the spine because everything is south of that. And it starts in your brain, goes down your cervical spine, and anything below where you have an impingement can be affected. So that's very interesting because you're having, cramps and tired? Yeah, and all kinds of stuff.
The cramps are, out of control.
And the cramps are downtown. They're in your legs and stuff.
Yeah.
So we don't
primarily,
know.
Primarily, but they're also in my hands.
Right.
They're also, yeah.
Which makes sense.
My hands have also.
If it's
got
coming, if you
too.
Have a pinched nerve in your cervical spine, that could make that happen. So that's why I said to you before, while you're waiting on stuff to happen, start focusing on stretching your neck. Do things to, look up. look up pinched nerve in the neck and what exercises you do for it, and start doing that. So anyway, so that's where Ronald is at. So where we were at last week is we were talking about some nice New Year's resolutions you actually can keep, and I wanted to continue in that form, and Ron can jump in anytime. So here's something that's good to do. It's a good idea to add more produce to your diet, unless you are doing a keto carnivore diet, which I don't recommend for everybody. I don't even recommend it for most people. Some people are so inflamed that they can't eat any produce. They can't eat any carbs at all. And they do very well on a keto carnivore diet. But that's rare. Most people are just not eating good. They're eating too much sugar. They're drinking too much alcohol. They're getting great big iced coffees at the drive-through with lots of cream and sugar. And remember what we talked about last week is that when you have sugar and fat together, that it increases your neuropeptide Y, which turns off your satiety signal. So if you're starting your morning with this great big coffee with lots of cream and sugar in it, you're turning on your neuropeptide Y, and your satiety, you're going to be hungry all day. So, and a lot of people start their day that way with some kind of coffee with some kind of really sweet creamer in it. So they're either getting, you know, a conventional creamer that has lots of sugar in it, you know, French vanilla, it's all the rage. I mean, if I have that, I have sips of it and I have a little coffee. Like I get cold brew coffee that I keep in the fridge and I have maybe a quarter cup of it, and I put in natural creamer. And because I try to limit my dairy, I found I can eat a little bit of dairy. Like I've been eating on maybe alternate days, I've been eating raw milk cheese, and I'm okay with it. And but I wouldn't sit down and eat a pizza even if it had raw milk cheese on it. And I wouldn't eat a lasagna that had real cheese in it. So most days I eat fake cheese if I want some cheese, and, you know, lots of fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and things like that, and my clean protein. Starting the day with a big coffee with lots of cream in it, with lots of fat and lots of sugar, is starting your day off. That's recipe for weight gain. And though I believe in health at any size, I'm more interested in people having healthy habits than I am in them being a particular weight. Worrying about your weight just makes you crazy. But doing things to help to maximize your health is a good thing for you. And whether you lose weight or not, you're still going to be healthier. So if you must have coffee with creamer in the morning, consider, if you tolerate dairy well, consider having your coffee with creamer with lots of cinnamon in it. Because first of all, cinnamon makes your coffee taste sweeter, and you may not need any sweetener at all. Second of all, learn to like it without sweetener at all. Third of all, try throwing in some stevia, or try throwing in some monk fruit and see if you like that. Or you could do a very small amount of maple syrup or honey or agave. If you tolerate dairy, you can do a little bit of dairy. And if you don't, then you'd get a natural unsweetened creamer that's either almond or coconut or hemp or oat milk based, and sweeten it a very little bit. One thing that's really great is if you put oat milk and maple syrup, now you have, you know, maple syrup and oats go together very nicely. And so if you put maple syrup and oat milk in your coffee, that's going to taste really good. It's going to be much better for you than having a ton of, you know, regular sugar with artificial stuff in your coffee. But the thing is to add more produce to your diet, more cooked and raw vegetables, both cooked vegetables. It's good to cook vegetables because you bring out some of the nutrients are more bioavailable if you cook vegetables. So anything that's fat soluble, so your carotenoids, your beta carotene, your lutein, zeaxanthin are going to be more bioavailable in a cooked vegetable. The reason to eat raw vegetables, there's some things that can be inactivated by cooking, like enzymes, for example. So eat some cooked and some raw, and those are good for you. I think that flash freezing, you maintain enzymes, you maintain a lot of the nutrients. So if you get organic this time of year, it's cold out, Nothing is growing around here. Anything that you're eating that's fresh has been shipped from far away. And so this time of year, if you're doing flash frozen stuff that's organic, I think that's fine. And so remember that if you eat more produce, it protects against a lot of illnesses like diabetes, certain cancers, heart disease, obesity, and general mortality. Okay, another thing you can do is cut back on alcohol. I have patients who they'll quit alcohol and they'll lose 10 pounds immediately. And then I have other patients who are like, I'm not quitting. I'm just not going to do it. And they're drinking at least one glass of alcohol every single day, whether you're male or female. That's really not good for you. And the latest studies show that any amount of alcohol is not good for your health. That the problem is that alcohol causes oxidative damage. It breaks down as it's hitting the surfaces of anything that it touches. So it's harmful in a number of ways. I'm not saying I never drink alcohol, because I do. Once in a while, I do. Most weeks, I go without. And I'm not a person who drinks all the time and wants to drink all the time. I'm very much a social drinker or an occasion drinker. So like if I go to a Sabbath celebration, I'm going to drink some wine. If it's New Year's, I'm going to have some Baileys. If it's a celebration, I'm going to have some Baileys or wine. But I don't think of it. It's not something I come home. I have patients who they come home from their very stressful day and first thing they do is pour a glass of wine. And maybe they have a glass of wine or two. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I'll tell them, I don't tell them don't drink any alcohol at all. What I tell them is if there's a wine that you love or a craft beer that you love or a bourbon that you love, get that and don't have it every day. Sit and savor it, but don't use alcohol as a way to calm down at the end of a hard day. If you want to calm down at the end of a hard day, that's where deep breathing comes in. Herbal teas come in. You could take L-theanine as a supplement or ashwagandha or other nervine teas. Go to bed early. Do something relaxing because that's what you're really looking for. Take a warm bath. Take a warm Epsom salt bath. That's a much better way to calm down than drinking alcohol, and they're actually good for you. There's no amount of alcohol that's really good for you because, again, when alcohol touches surfaces, it causes oxidative damage. So the minute it touches your mouth, you can get changes. You can get cellular changes to wherever it touches. So if it touches your lips, you can get cancer in your lips. You can get oral cancer from drinking too much alcohol. You can get esophageal cancer from drinking too much alcohol. You can get stomach cancer from drinking too much alcohol. And this is from the alcohol hitting those surfaces. Then once it gets past the stomach, you can get pancreatic cancer from drinking too much alcohol. And I don't know that that's the alcohol hitting the pancreas, but pancreatitis does happen when people drink too much alcohol. And it may be from the alcohol getting into the bloodstream and it's hitting the pancreas and causing oxidative damage there. So what happens is once you start metabolizing the alcohol, you have metabolites. When you have alcohol dehydrogenase working on the alcohol, you have it goes through an aldehyde phase and then it goes through an acetic acid phase before it gets broken down to water and carbon dioxide. And nature doesn't like aldehydes. Aldehydes are a carbon that has three bonds to the other carbon, and they're unstable. So they break down easily and they cause oxidative stress. And so when you have oxidative stress, anywhere you have oxidative stress, you can damage tissues. And so alcohol can cause deterioration in cancer, certainly because it's metabolized in the liver. It can, of course, cause issues with the liver. It can cause hepatitis, and it can cause cancer there. And then I'm not sure if it's more likely to cause colon cancer also. But unfortunately, it can cause, because of the oxidative stress, it can cause cancer at many places in your body. People are always worried about, I've been diagnosed with Barrett's esophagus, which is where you have cellular changes from exposure to too much acid in your esophagus. And they scare people and tell them, if you don't take these acid blockers, you're going to get esophageal cancer. And that's very, very rare. I mean, your chance of getting Barrett's esophagus if you do nothing and you have refluxes is 1%, and you're going to bring it down to closer to zero. But you're much more likely, and I tell people this, you're much more likely to get esophageal cancer from drinking alcohol. And if you're doing something, anything about your Barrett's esophagus, so even if you're not taking a proton pump inhibitor, but you're taking things to soothe and rebuild the esophagus, and you're taking antioxidants, that's going to help. And you're exceedingly unlikely to get cancer if you have Barrett's esophagus. If you're drinking too much, you're much more likely to get cancer. So if you want to have less alcohol in your life, but you need a fun beverage, you can get mocktails. You can get fruit-infused sparkling water. You can drink kombucha. Now, kombucha does have a tiny bit of alcohol in it, but the alcohol level is very low. If you are sober and you need to abstain, you probably shouldn't drink kombucha. And the other thing you have to be careful of is if there are some people who don't do any alcohol at all for various reasons. Some people just don't do it for health reasons, and some people don't do it because they're sober. If you're offered a tincture, you know, herbs extracted in alcohol, you may have to decline those. I had a patient decline not too long ago, not because they were sober, but because they, for health reasons, they just don't consume alcohol. So we had to offer them an alternative, which we do. You can get herbs extracted in glycerin, and you can get all kinds of powders and capsules. And so we had things to offer her. So another thing that you can do to help your year be nicer is to be more present in your life. Being more present can improve your life satisfaction. You may have less negative thoughts. You're not thinking into the future as much. You're not spending as much time in anxiety and worry. So enjoying life in the present can help you with your psychological health in general. Being more mindful and present can give you more happiness in your everyday life if you enjoy what's going on in your life right now. You might choose to spend less time on your phone. Doom scrolling is a really harsh thing to do right now. There's a lot of things going on that people are upset about. So today is a good day to put down your phone and maybe not look at it. Or if you do look at your phone, look at your video game, or look at pretty pictures, or listen to some music. This morning when I rode my bike, I wanted to put something on that was not the news. So I was jumping around. At first I put on a Hallmark movie, and the Hallmark movie was too slow moving for what I need. I need something more exciting when I'm on the bike. So the Hallmark movie was too slow for me. So I eventually just switched over and projected my workout on the TV and played music and played jumpy, exciting music. And that was great. And then when I was getting ready for, I like to have the TV on when I'm dressing. So when I'm dressing, I might have something educational. Or I might have the news on. I wasn't going near the news today. So today I put on Friends. I put on reruns of Friends, and that was humorous, and realized I did not know that I didn't remember that Aisha Tyler was in a few episodes of Friends. And I adored Aisha Tyler. I think she's adorable. She's very pretty, and she's very smart, and she's really funny. I love her as the host of Whose Line Is It Anyway, and I loved her in Ghost Whisperer when she was in that. She wasn't in it for very long because they killed her off. Oh, spoiler. I mean, that show was on probably 20 years ago. But anyway, yes, they killed her off. And then Jennifer Love Hewitt had to get a new best friend, who was Cameron Manheim. Anyway, I digress. So anyway, be more present. Spend less time on your phone. Look at your environment. Look outside. Look at the pretty snow. Wow. We were supposed to get 6 to 8 inches of snow. I think we got 6/10 to 10/10 inches of snow. I'm not sure if we got an inch. And it's very cold out right now, but the sun is very bright, and I see dripping coming from the eaves. And I don't know how long the snow will probably hang around for a bit because the weather's going to be very cold. But I would like to see more snow because I can't go play outside in the snow. And to the point where maybe we're going to have to take a trip to Vermont or something to get in some snow. Think about taking a vacation, even a short one. Plan a long weekend. Go visit somebody who lives in another state. Even if you live in Connecticut and the person is in Massachusetts, go somewhere that's not home and stay there. And having a change of scenery can really do you good. So take a vacation with friends, family members, by yourself. The other thing you can do is do a staycation. The only problem with me in a staycation is if I stay home, I'm going to look around the house and there's going to be things I need to get done. And I'm going to continue in my daily rut of things that I do every day that are simply not work. And because I'm running a business, I'll still want to go into the office and keep up on the charts. Because when I go away on vacation, I come back to charts, and we still use paper charts in my office. So I come back to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. So anyway, for me to get away from that for a while, I have to like leave town, and I enjoy leaving town. I enjoy traveling. I enjoy going to other places. It's fun for me to go to Manchester, even just to go down the road and hang out somewhere else for a little bit. Taking some R&R is really good. Remember what we said. Rest is not an indulgence. Rest is essential to your health. You can try a new hobby if you like. Adults will often let hobbies go. I know there are hobbies that I have let go just because I'm so busy and needing extra rest. So I'm not dancing like I used to dance, and I'm not playing music. I like to play the piano and I like to play the guitar. Not that I'm great at them, but I enjoy those things and I haven't been doing them. When you do a hobby that you love, you can be a lot healthier. But Ron and I could set up a puzzle, like an actual physical puzzle. He likes to play puzzle on his tablet, but there's something very satisfying about holding the puzzle pieces and making a puzzle. So think about trying out a hobby you've always been interested in, or pick back up a hobby that you like. I have patients who love to do crafts. They crochet, they knit. I have a patient who tats. You know what tatting is? Tatting is, it's making lace. It's making lacy things, so making doilies and things, or making, fringes for things. But it's how you make lace. It's a specific, I don't know if you use a hook to do it or you just tie knots, but that's specifically what tatting is. Work on stopping negative body talk. If you're always like, I have to lose weight, I don't look good, I'm going to shame my body. When you engage and listen to negative body talk, it's associated with higher levels of body dissatisfaction and self-esteem. If you're not happy with your body, it's time to do nice things for your body, not be mean to it. So get more rest, get good exercise, get massage. Make your body a nicer place to hang out. And again, I think that focusing on the numbers on the scale is not a great way to go. That what you want to do is focus on healthy eating, eating less sugar, eating less carbs, eating more fruits and vegetables, clean protein, nuts and seeds, just eating less processed food. And see where it falls when you do that. You may not realize that you're just eating a lot of processed stuff and too much sugar. And if you stop that, and maybe too much alcohol as well, and if you stop doing that, your body's going to feel a whole lot better. And your body will feel a whole lot better way, way before any weight comes off. So if you, after 2 weeks of being on a plan of healthy eating, good rest, good exercise, you're going to feel a lot better. Try it and see what happens. Another thing to resolve to do is go see your doctor. If you're not getting all of your exams, you should really do that. Because you can get stuff caught way before it becomes serious. So have a visit with a primary care physician, get some blood work done, come see your friendly local naturopath if you want to. If there's something you're concerned about, get that taken care of. If you're a woman, get gynecological exams and breast exams. If you're a man, have your PSA checked. And if your PSA is rising, then you're going to have to go to the urologist. But get these things taken care of, because they can catch things early that that can be taken care of before they ever become a huge problem. Take care of your teeth. Maintaining your oral health is so important. Do you know that taking care of your oral health can prevent cardiovascular disease? How on earth do your teeth have anything to do with your heart? It's simple. You have bacteria in your mouth, and if you don't take care of your teeth, you grow anaerobic bacteria, and you get inflamed gums. When you get inflamed gums, you have little bleeds, and the bacteria can get in. And so the bacteria is now in your bloodstream. You have a mild level of sepsis, and then the bacteria can wind up in your coronary arteries, and then your body has to protect you from the oxidative stress from that bacteria, and now you could have cardiovascular disease. The other thing that can happen is I think this is less common, but you can get endocarditis from having unfriendly bacteria in your teeth. So it's really important to get a handle on those. It's a really good idea to brush and also floss, because you want to get when you floss, you move plaque out from in between your teeth. And plaque, of course, is the unfriendly bacteria. It's anaerobic bacteria that has made a biofilm around it to protect it from the immune system. So you can't just use antimicrobials for that. You need something to break down the plaque. Xylitol will break down the plaque. So if your toothpaste has xylitol in it, it will break down the bacteria, break down the plaque, the biofilm. And simply mechanically removing it with floss will help. The other thing, and I'm really a big fan of getting probiotics in your mouth, specific probiotics in your mouth that prevent bad bacteria from growing. And there are specific species, so you can get toothpaste that has those specific species. You can also get lozenges that are specifically for oral health, and they will impart probiotics in your mouth that will fight bad bacteria. I remember a long time ago, I had a family come in, and the child had halitosis. They had bad breath. So I said, okay, we're going to give, and I don't know if I even gave them a specific oral probiotic that was for oral health. I gave them a chewable probiotic, just a regular chewable probiotic, and I told her to suck on it every day. The probiotic had xylitol in it, and it also had just a complement of good probiotics in it. I said, don't chew it, suck on it. So that way it would impart beneficial bacteria to her mouth, and the next time they came back, they said, bad breath's gone. So that's pretty amazing. What I like to do is I have a special toothpaste that has silver in it, which is a great antimicrobial. It has some essential oils that are antimicrobial, and it has calcium hydroxyapatite, which is an alternative to fluoride to help rebuild your enamel. And it also has a specific probiotic that will battle against the strep mutans that likes to grow in your mouth, the anaerobic strep mutans that tends to cause decay. And so I don't brush my teeth with it. I use it as a leave-on. So I take my finger and I rub it on the surfaces of my teeth. And then I take another dollop and put it on my tongue, and I spread it all around my teeth and I leave it in. So what a lot of these toothpastes recommend that you do is when you're done brushing your teeth is don't spit it out. But I find that kind of gross, because the toothpaste is imbued, it's mixed with saliva, and then for your tendency is to want to spit out extra saliva that can make you gag. So I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't brush my teeth with the toothpaste that has the all the fancy stuff in it. I brush my teeth with a cheaper, less fancy toothpaste, because I'm just going to spit it out anyway. And then I use the pricier fancy toothpaste that has the silver and the grapeseed extract and the good probiotic and the CoQ10, and it has calcium hydroxyapatite, and I leave that in, and no, there's no extra saliva because I'm not brushing it around, mixing it with saliva. So it's good to get your teeth checked, to do prophylaxis at least twice a year. And some people have to do it four times a year, and that becomes a problem if you don't have good insurance. But if you can do it, it maybe once a year is good. It's a really good idea. Again, dental caries are something that you can get cardiovascular disease from having cavities. You can get septus from having from having dental disease. It's a really good idea to keep your teeth clean and see your dentist regularly. Create a sustainable, nourishing diet. We already said eat more produce, but you want to eat a diet that's sustainable. So if you're doing fancy diets, where like ketogenic diets or diets that are really fringe and they make you take out all your carbs, some people do fantastically on those. And I would say that it's around 10% of people who I see who go on a ketogenic diet, they stay on it because they feel fantastic and they are very motivated to do it. That is rare. Most people I see going ketogenic diets go on it and then drop off it because it's just not sustainable. And it probably means it's also not good for their bodies. So instead of making a plan to follow another restrictive fad diet, just break the dieting cycle and create something that's sustainable for you. That's going to be whole nutrient-dense foods. Let go of the processed sugary foods. A healthy long-term diet should be nutritious and adaptable, meaning you can follow it for life. It also doesn't mean never eat a piece of cake again. It may mean don't have cake every day. And if you want something sweet, this is where you get into fruit and nut butter and lots of cinnamon and everything. Think of cinnamon as something that you keep next to the salt and pepper, because that's what I do. I have 2 bottles of cinnamon going at all times because I fill it up at bulk at the co-op. And so when one is empty, it goes to the co-op and gets filled up while the other one comes forward. And it doesn't sit in the spice drawer. It sits out. I put cinnamon in my protein shake every day because cinnamon is so good for you. And I love to put cinnamon in coffee too. So I use a lot of cinnamon. And then if I make any kind of a crisp, especially apple crisp, tons of cinnamon goes in it. So cinnamon is something you can get into your life very easily, and it makes things taste sweet, and it is good for your blood sugar. It might be somewhat good for your cholesterol. It's going to be good for your cholesterol. Anything that's good for your blood sugar is also good for your cholesterol, so you might as well use it. So a healthy diet is high in whole foods, nutrient dense, not processed. And you can maintain a sustainable eating pattern on vacation, holidays, parties, and it's not restrictive. You can have a little bit of that delicious hors d'oeuvre or a little, you know, a few bites of that delicious dessert. You just don't want to be eating big pieces of cake and, you know, finishing up a whole pint of ice cream at a sitting. One of the ways to do that is not just to say, okay, I'm not going to do it. It's to eat lots of fiber. If you eat lots of fiber and protein, you're not going to be as hungry and you're not going to be able. You're just not going to want to, you're going to feel satisfied and you're not going to want to put down more food. And eat regularly. I find that on days where I have more meals, where I sit down and I actually have a real meal, I don't snack as much because I feel satisfied. I feel like I got something to eat and it was good and I enjoyed it. And then, you know, I don't feel like I have to have that extra piece of candy or cookie or something. And so most New Year's resolutions you only keep for a short period of time. And healthy resolutions are sustainable ways to improve your physical and emotional health. And you can follow them for life. You want to create a healthier relationship with your food, take better care of your body and mind, and that can improve your health in a lot of ways. Try a few of these resolutions. So these resolutions are about being kind to yourself and being understanding with yourself and understanding that your body is a place that's a nice place to live, and you want to make it helpful for you. So, all right. So what I'm going to get into next week, I'm going to talk more about help for osteoarthritis. I'm going to start by talking about magnesium and how it specifically helps with osteoarthritis. In the meantime, I think what I'm going to do is because I mentioned magnesium, I'll just give you just remind you of why magnesium is good for you. So first of all, people come in taking magnesium and they'll often have supplements that are not great forms of magnesium. So if you come in and you have a bottle of magnesium oxide, I'm going to tell you, well, that's dirt. And I don't mean that you got a crummy product. I mean, it literally is dirt. That's the form of magnesium that is literally in dirt. And it's not very well absorbed. That's the big thing. So if you want a magnesium specifically to help you go to the bathroom, that might be one to use, because if you take the magnesium oxide, you're not going to absorb a lot of it. A lot of it is going to go right through you. It's going to wind up in your colon, pull water to it, and you'll go to the bathroom better. But if you want magnesium to get into your body, what you need is a magnesium that's attached to another molecule that your body is very interested in. So your body's going to be very interested in citrate malate. It's going to be very interested in glycinate. And you do have something to say?
Yeah, not to throw a curve at you, but I'm being advertised that about magnesium. And magnesium from China, no. Magnesium from the
Dead Sea. I saw that.
The Dead Sea.
Ocean. Yeah, I saw that.
Yes. So apparently the cheaper Chinese magnesium can have particles of plastic in it. It can have lead in it.
Yeah.
It can have all sorts of bad things.
So that's,
you got to be careful.
That's why it's important to get your magnesium, any of your supplements, from a reliable source, because they're going to be tested for chemicals like that. Now, the one Ron is talking about happens to be glycinate. And I also offer glycinate, not the brand that he's talking about, but it's an incredibly well vetted and studied for, you know, the magnesium I take every day. It's been, you know, it's a professional grade brand, and it's studied for mold and toxins and plastics and all kinds of stuff. So if you get it from your from a reliable source, like your friendly local naturopath or a nutritionist or a chiropractor or a physician, it's going to tend not to have those things in it. So I like glycinate, because glycinate is a lovely calming amino acid that your body will grab onto. I'll talk more about different kinds of magnesium next week, and I will also talk about how magnesium is specifically helpful for osteoarthritis. So it's time for me to go now. So I'm going to go and wish you well, and hope that the beginning of your 2025 is going very nicely. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Doors, and WHUS.org.